We're going to begin this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, if you will turn there. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Now, in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor, some to dishonor. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. They may come to their senses and escape from the snares of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for giving us such a marvelous hope. And I pray, Father, we would not waste our time after our own devices and after our own pleasures and desires, but that we would just turn our hearts to Jesus, that our mind might be fixed upon Him, and that we might live to glorify Him. And I thank you, Father, for a chance to be your servant, to know your word, and to share that word with others. Bless us as we study these things this morning, Father, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week, Paul wrote to admonish Timothy to maintain the integrity of the Scriptures. We are to teach the word of God, every bit of the word of God, but nothing but the word of God, as we teach. So we need to be very careful as we are discussing those things. This week, Paul turns and picks up the idea of personal integrity of a Christian. We are not to be like the world. We are not to have worldly motives like the world. But instead, we are, as we are called, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be followers of Christ. We are to be like Him. We are to be disciples of Christ, meaning that we are to become like our teacher and master, Jesus Christ. We need, therefore, to learn to disregard our old way of thinking and living and begin to live in obedience to Jesus, using Him as our example as to how to behave in our circumstances. All right, so let's get in to this study about our personal integrity this morning, verse 20. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. So, Paul has often described, or has described in a couple of his letters, the church as a body. And a body is a whole organism that goes about the business of being a body and living life and such like that. And each body has various parts. And that's what he's talking about here. They're in this large house. There are many different items that are used to run that household. And all of them are necessary for the household to function properly. So every one of them is there for honor, but we can also use those things to dishonor. You know, so if you are upset with somebody, you might throw something at them. I don't think that's ever happened in our house, fortunately, but you could do that. You know, people smash stuff up all the time. So you would take an object, say a lamp or something like that, and dishonor the use of that lamp by throwing it at somebody. that same lamp that you could just turn on and read the Bible with. That's the concept that he's talking about here in verse 20, that there are things in our personage and in our character that we use to dishonor God. And so we need to not do those things. We need to conduct ourselves and our bodies and everything else in such a way that we would bring honor unto God in our behaviors and glorify God in what is going on. That is what our purpose is. God, I've told you this many times, but I don't mind repeating myself. Makes the sermon longer. But God has called us to be His people. God doesn't need us. If I disappear, it don't matter, because God doesn't need me to get the message broadcast to His people. Now, God has chosen to use me. So as long as I stay appeared, I know it's bad English, but then I am to bring glory unto God by what I say and what I do. But God's still going to be the same. I remember one time, one of the gentlemen at work, when he retired, he, in his retirement speech, he set a glass of water out on the table, and he stuck his finger in there, and he says, "This is me at Mormons," or "This is Mormons with me." He took his finger out, and he goes, "And that's Mormons without me." Didn't make a bit of difference. You couldn't tell anything difference in the level of water, especially this one, because it's empty. But the fact of the matter is, that's exactly the way it is with God. God wants to use you. There's not a person in this room that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior that God wants to use you. He has a task for you. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God has prepared beforehand. So God wants to use you, but God doesn't need to use you. He can get His purposes done some other way. So we can't brag about what's going on in our lives, but we certainly can have a little bit of pride and desire to serve God in the position that God has put us in, so that we might honor Him and not dishonor Him. All right, verse 21. "Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work." So we are human. So we are going to fail. And that means then that part of the task that we have is to cleanse ourselves. When we recognize that our focus is not on Jesus, we need to do something about it. We need to change that behavior. We need to restructure our life so that we can bring honor to God as we live. And we do that, first of all, by repenting of our sin and then getting back on track with living for Jesus so that we can give glory unto God. So that needs to be a fairly regular practice, unfortunately, but all of us need to take the time and repent of our sins so that we can flush out the old stuff and keep things cleaned up so God can then use us. So we might now be a vessel of honor. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but you know, if you let a milk glass that's used sit in the sink for a week, you know, it gets kind of nasty, doesn't it? Try it this week, just for the fun of it. But then it needs to be cleaned out before you can use it again. You don't want to drink out of that glass after that spoiled milk's been in there for a week. So it needs to be cleaned up so that it can become a vessel of honor again. That vessel can be used for what its intent and purpose is. And that's the way we are. We clean ourselves out so that we might live to get to honor the God that we serve. And then we can be useful to the master. God is God. He doesn't need us to accomplish anything, but God has chosen us to serve Him and accomplish a ministry for His glory. And if we will become this vessel of honor, then we can be useful to the Master from that time on. So as we live to bring glory unto God, we learn to obey the commands of Jesus, and then we strive to be diligent in the ministry given to us by God so that we can be useful in the kingdom of God. And then we need to be prepared for every good work. Okay, so Paul makes it very clear, and I think it's been well established in the church that works do not save. You do not get to heaven because you're a good person and you have more pros on this side than you do cons on this side. You are saved by trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But that faith of trusting in Christ causes you to want to work for the glory of God. And because God then gives us a work to do, we need to be ready to complete that task that God has given to us. And the fact of the matter is, that may mean that we need to have a change of direction from time to time. This path that you're taking right now at this moment might be exactly right for you at this moment. But a year from now, it may need to be going a different direction, need to be a different change. You may be in a different place where you can minister to the group of people that are there. So we need to be ready to make that change. Be prepared for what God brings our way. Not for what we want God to bring our way, but what God brings our way. That we are prepared for that work, and when it comes, jump in. Be prepared for every good work. Verse 22. Now, flee from youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So Paul starts this discussion then on different personal characteristic traits that each of us are to use in our life or get rid of in our life, depending on which ones we're talking about. We need to put aside our own desires, our own feelings, and begin to live with our focus on Jesus. So he says here right from the very beginning, if we're going to serve God and bring glory to his name, first of all, we need to flee from youthful lusts. All of us have our own fleshly desires. Some of us are not all that youthful anymore, but that still there is a need in our lives to put our own desires and feelings aside and try to focus on what we believe Jesus Christ wants us to do. So move on in that area. Then he tells us if not only do we flee or run from our youthful lusts, and instead we are to pursue. Some translation says aim at righteousness. Pursue righteousness. So instead of living in the moment and whatever comes our way, we decide to act in a certain manner. We are to have a plan and a goal. And the first part of that plan is to live in a proper manner before God, following his commands. Pursue righteousness. The second thing we are to do is to pursue faith. So in this verse 22, pursue goes with all these, not just the first one. We are to look for faith. Learn how we can look to God in all things. How we might trust him, so that he can give us direction, how we can trust him that he's going to support us in the direction that he has called us to, how he will give us strength when we face trials and tribulations. So pursue trusting God, placing your faith in God. Then you are to pursue love. And that sounds easy, but it's not near that easy as it sounds. We are to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we're to pursue that. There's a lot of times we don't love as we ought to. We don't think about God the way we should. We don't consider him when we're getting ready to do an action. We need to be able to do that. Pursue loving God, and then we need to pursue loving our neighbors. And Jesus gave us the direction of loving our neighbors as ourselves. You know, it's easy for me to make choices that benefit me. What I need to learn is how to make choices that benefit you as well, that I might also help you to benefit just as by my actions, just as I benefit from my actions as well. So we need to pursue love. And lastly, we are to pursue peace with those who call upon the name of the Lord. That seems like a strange thing, but the fact of the matter is, we need to learn how to love each other in the church. That we care about each other. And that we want to work out our differences. You're never going to always see eye to eye with fellow believers, but we certainly can seek a biblical solution that doesn't compromise the Word of God while allowing us to continue to fellowship together. You may not agree with all of my theology, but you certainly can understand that we are both trying to live and grow and be like Christ and glorify Christ as we fellowship together. So that's the goal, is having pursuing peace with all those who call upon the name of the Lord from a pure heart. And that's kind of, it's at the end of the verse, but it's really kind of the whole concept of what he's talking about. First of all, we clean up our act and clean this vessel up, and then we need to live doing what Jesus has called us to do, loving like Jesus loved those that he ministered to as well. And that means that we need to be on guard against our own hearts that are going to go astray from time to time. And especially we need to be on guard against those who are false believers and or who have fallen into sin. We have a responsibility to try to draw those folks back, but certainly we need to recognize that they're not on the right track and not be just agreeing with whatever their behavior is, but seeking to not only live to glorify God, but wanting our fellow believer to live to glorify God as well. So that should be what we are pursuing. Verse 23. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculation, knowing that they produce quarrels. So this is an admonition that Paul has already given to Timothy in this letter. But he reminds him again, because this is an important part of the responsibility of the church, is to recognize false teaching and do something about it. And not to waste time, actually, quarreling over these secondary issues, but just want to understand better and better the truth of God's Word, and then try to apply that Word to our disagreements so that we may get along in whatever we're doing. That we would do as much as possible to prevent argument and quarrels among the brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 25. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong. So, we are the bondservant of God. I hope that I have impressed that upon you, that you are a servant of the living God. So first and foremost, we need to be mindful that we are God's servant, and we're not living our life for ourselves. There's a lot of inconvenient things that come up when we in our Christian walk. And we just have to recognize that, wait a minute, God has thrown this into my path. Remember, be prepared for every good work, verse 21. That God's thrown this in my path. All right, so I'm going to live with that as a part of my goal instead of the things that I want to do, because I am a servant of God first and foremost. And then he goes on, talking about the correct pathway as a servant of God. The first thing we've already talked about, avoid quarreling unnecessarily. Just don't fight those things. Then we are to be kind. That means that we're going to have to be understanding about those who may need correction. Maybe just understanding that other people aren't aware of what they're doing wrong, and just either trying to gently push them in the right direction or be patient with them as they go the wrong direction and try to correct them as best we can. We are to be able to teach. Now, of course, this is especially true of pastors, but every one of you, every believer, must have some ability to explain and defend the gospel. And that's clear throughout the New Testament, that Jesus wants us to know His Word, He wants us to know His commandments, and He wants us to share the good news with people around us. So that means you have to be able to say, hey, man has fallen, sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus is the answer. It may be just as simple as that. And if you can think of nothing else to say, that's enough. You've at least told them. Here it is. You can make a choice from that. If you're hearing my voice, you can choose to understand the fact that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then you can choose whether you're going to trust in Jesus as your Savior or keep doing what you're doing. That's a choice. I can't force you to do that, but I can tell you that's what you need. That's it. Able to teach. Patient when wrong. It's going to happen. And whether you're talking about a fellow believer or a lost soul, we're going to experience injustice, inconvenience, just downright things that are irritating in our lives. And we need to be ready for those events and work through it without retaliation or anger. Verse 25, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth. So we are to gently correct. We don't have to put up with false charges. We don't have to put up with error, any of that kind of stuff. I'm not trying to encourage that. We don't have to just back off and let the wicked wash over us. But we need to be loving in how we correct a situation, or at least the stand that we take. Gently correcting those who are in opposition, that God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth. And again, this should be one of the goals that we have as a believer, is that somebody would recognize, wait a minute, I am a sinner. I need to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And notice that, again, as we've talked before, God's the one that does that anyway. I know it always bothers us, especially when we're new in the faith, when people don't listen to us and they just ignore the gospel and they keep going their wicked way, heading for eternal damnation. But the fact of the matter is, that's not our job. Our job is to tell people that they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God grants them repentance. So you can never truly fail if you're telling the truth to somebody. You can't fail. If they reject God's message, well, they rejected Jesus. They nailed him on a cross because they didn't like what he had to say. So if you're not expecting rejection as a believer, then you have the wrong expectations. We are going to be rejected. That doesn't stop us from telling people, though, what the hope is in Jesus Christ. That's what we should be doing. Verse 26. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snares of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So we recognize from the beginning of man that there has been opposition to God. I don't know when Satan fell and the angels that went with him become demons, but it did happen. And Satan can't win against God, and he knows that, but he still wants to drag as many people away from God as possible. He doesn't like man. Whether whatever you may hear or think, Satan is not your friend. He doesn't want what's best for you. He's trying to hold you captive to his evil will so that you will not trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So, again, we are to do our best to proclaim the gospel message so that they might come to their senses and escape from the snares of the devil. The ultimate goal for us as believers is to provide correction for a wayward brother or a lost person so that they might repent. That's the goal, is to share the gospel so that people might repent and turn to God and let them repent and believe. What a wonderful thing that the church can live in harmony with each other as we correct our wayward brothers, and that we can see new souls accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and going from death to eternal life. That is a marvelous task that we have as the church. So, first and foremost, Paul writes to Timothy to remind him and to remind us as believers that we are servants of the living God. That's a thing we have to remember at all times. And because we are servants of the living God, we are to live like we're servants of the living God. Live differently. Have different goals, different mannerisms, different characteristics that are like Christ. Sanctifying, being growing to be more and more like Christ each and every day. And quite frankly, if you're going to just summarize all the stuff that Paul talks about in the character, our character and our action really needs to be loving and beyond reproach. That's it. It's that easy. That people would know that our motivation is to glorify God. And that our actions are there to tell others about Christ and direct them to this new way of life which brings eternal life. So church, there's your goal for this week, is to put aside your own selfish desires and directions and to live in such a manner as to bring glory unto God's holy name. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for another chance to join together, and we just pray that you would just help us to put aside the wickedness that's in our lives, to help and add in these things that are pleasing to thee, so that we might live to serve and glorify you. And we give you all the honor and praise and glory, and we thank you for this chance to study together and encourage each other in the faith. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.